From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this Monday, September 16th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Roughly 11 months after an Army reservist committed the worst mass shooting in Maine history, the state's two U.S. senators have introduced legislation that could compel the military to use so-called red flag or yellow flag laws in states. Kevin Miller reports.
In July of 2023, Robert Card's Army Reserve leaders ordered him to undergo a psychiatric evaluation in New York because of his paranoia and erratic behavior. Both New York and Maine have laws allowing the courts to temporarily confiscate the guns of potentially dangerous individuals. But that never happened in this case, and Card later killed 18 people in Lewiston. The bill from Senators Susan Collins and Angus King would require the military to, quote, fully utilize state crisis intervention laws if a service member has been declared unfit to handle military firearms or has been involuntarily committed to a mental hospital.
By taking such actions, we have a chance to help service members in crisis. We have a chance to help protect our neighbors, our families, our communities.
Collins says she consulted with military officials, veterans organizations, and the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine when drafting the bill. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The United States Postal Service unveiled a plan today that would preserve its Eastern Maine processing facility in Hampton. USPS says a proposed new nationwide operational strategy that aims to boost efficiency would save $3 billion annually and allow the Hampton facility to stay open. Last November, the agency had proposed consolidating the facility with one in Scarborough that generated backlash from customers, as well as Congressman Jared Golden, who said it would result in job losses and mail delays. If the plan is approved, the Hampton facility would also receive a $12 million investment to improve technology. Maine transportation officials were at a Rhode Island shipyard today, which is putting the finishing touches on a new hybrid electric diesel ferry. It's called the Captain Almer Dinsmore and is being built by Sunesco Marine. Maine transportation officials say the ferry will be able to make part of its one-hour round trip between Lincolnville to Islesboro without burning fossil fuel. Federal Transit Administration Acting Administrator Veronica Vanderpool also announced an additional grant to Maine to help fund construction of a second hybrid ferry and install electric charging equipment at the terminals in Lincolnville and Islesboro. Members of a Belfast church today expressed their disappointment with the decision by the University of Maine system to rescind its offer to sell the former Hutchinson Center. As Ari Snyder reports, it's the latest in a long-running tussle over the future of the Belfast-based facility.
The UMaine system had previously agreed to sell the Hutchinson Center to the Calvary Chapel Church after a competitive bid process, but another local group interested in the property objected, and the university system's leadership found that the process did not fully account for the economic impact of the sale, specifically the cost of relocating an internet connectivity hub on site. About 20 Calvary congregants, including Greg Whitcomb, testified at a Board of Trustees meeting Monday, registering their displeasure with the decision to rescind the sale.
You can't move the goalpost after the fact. We won fair and square. That's how business works. If I ran my business like this, I would soon have a reputation of being shady.
The UMaine system says it expects to announce later this month how it will proceed with a new sale or bid process and what criteria will be considered. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
And the U.S. Interior Department has announced that it will host a lease sale for the 8 areas in the Gulf of Maine that federal officials want to develop into commercial offshore wind farms. The auction will be held on October 29th. 6 of the potential wind plots are located off outer Cape Cod. The remaining 2 sites are off the Maine coast. In total, the sites encompass about 850,000 acres. Federal officials say these areas are smaller than what was initially proposed this year, in order to avoid offshore fishing grounds and sensitive marine habitat. Federal officials say if leased and developed entirely, these areas have the potential to generate about 13 gigawatts of wind energy, enough to power more than 4 million homes. The eight areas are separate from a small parcel off the southern coast, which the state of Maine has leased as a site to test floating wind turbines. And this week, workers in long-term care will share the challenges they face with state policymakers at a conference in Hallowell. Maine's long-term care ombudsman, Brenda Gallant, says the annual turnover rate for workers in long-term care facilities is high, more than 50%. And she says it's important to hear from workers to effectively address the problem.
Everybody has a voice. State government, providers, advocates. But what about the workers themselves? They should be at the table. They should be heard. They should be supported in telling us what they need, what's important to them.
Gallant says benefits and wages are part of the high attrition issue, but access to childcare and housing are also contributing factors. 12 new conservation projects will receive close to $4 million in funding under the Land for Maine's Future program. The latest round of projects includes four former dairy farms, which will be preserved for agricultural purposes. Others include part of the Stonington Lobster Cooperative and two other parcels along the Midcoast in Hancock County, which will be preserved as working waterfronts. Nearly 300 acres near the Branch Lake Recreation Area in Ellsworth will also be conserved. More than 640,000 acres have been conserved since the Land for Maine's Future program was established through a voter bond back in 1987. And Acadia Mountain Guides Climbing School is partnering with Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center to offer a new mountain medicine program. The program is the first of its kind on the East Coast and will include courses in wilderness rescue, mountain skills, and emergency medicine. The idea is to bring together the medical and rescue skills in one program, says Acadia Mountain Guides owner John Tierney. The program could be helpful for a range of professionals, including doctors, paramedics, outdoor guides, and safety directors at outdoor organizations, he says. For medical practitioners in particular, Tierney says it's about getting experience in unstable settings outside a hospital.
Where you don't have a team of resources that you can call on, you don't have a respiratory therapist that can take care of the airway, you don't have nurses that can push meds, you know, things like that. You kind of got to do all this. You got to think through what's most important, but meanwhile, it's snowing and the wind's blowing.
The program will require more than 200 hours of instruction and will include hands-on experience on mountains in Maine and New Hampshire. Applications for the program open in October. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, an encore presentation of our conversation with author David Lipsky on his book about climate change and the science of denial. I'm Nicole Ugriscill. Thanks for listening.